All right, you guys, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you all that attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. Stan McDonald, 30-year practitioner of law, longtime conservative, sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in a few minutes. All right, let me jump on in and just say that, this week the meeting happened that has all the left just kerflumped. They don't know what to do. They're apoplectic. It was going to be tyranny, they said. What meeting, you ask? The Secretary of War and the President of the United States had all of America's top generals and senior enlisted members come to Quantico and attend a large joint all-hands meeting. The room had more stars in it than the Milky Way. Generals, admirals, sergeants major, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, the left just knew that it was going to be awful. The things that they were saying were unbelievable. He's going to bring them in the room and they're all going to be fired. They're going to have to be signing a blood oath. I mean, it was the stupidest stuff I've ever seen. The generals were going to be given a choice, they said, of enacting unconstitutional violence on American citizens or told they have to resign. No, nothing like that. Not in the least. Everything the left predicted actually failed to happen. Go figure. I spoke to one young Army officer last night. This young Army officer told me that he watched the speech that was given by Secretary Hegseth, and not only did he love it, but he felt like it hit all the marks that the troops on the line actually believe in. He also said that he chuckled multiple times throughout Hegseth's speech. So, what did happen? In case you didn't see it, what did happen? First of all, somebody please tell me why it's a bad idea for senior leaders to occasionally come together into one purpose in one place to just gather up as an all hands. I don't know. Is there a reason why that's bad? Can you not find some purpose in it? I'll tell you this. Secretary Hegseth said some things that I thought were valuable and they were worth hearing from the horse's mouth. In Hegseth's own words, he said this at one point. He said, quote, "From this moment forward, the only mission of the newly restored Department of War is this. Warfighting. Preparing for war and preparing to win. Unrelenting and uncompromising in that pursuit. Not because we want war. No one here wants war," he said, "but it's because we love peace. We love peace for our fellow citizens. They deserve peace and they rightfully expect us to deliver." He went on to say, "Our number one job, of course, is to be strong so that we can prevent war in the first place. The president talks about it all the time," he said. "It's called peace through strength." Yeah, me talking again. The world is not a steady place, right? There's not. There's wars and rumors of wars. We are engaged in some hostile situations, but we are not currently at war as a nation. But if we think for a minute that there'll never be another time of war, then we're living in la-la land. But the Trump administration is determined to build America's military back to a place where we can once again use the phrase peace through strength, and it's long overdue. I've told you before, I think it was like 6 or 7 months ago, that peace is actually an active word. It can be a verb. More than it is a noun, really. Peace can be a noun, yes, a person, place, or a thing, but in the sense of making peace, it kind of has to be a verb. It's possible for a person to have peace or to know peace or to seek out peaceful moments in a busy schedule, but can you actually do peace? Can peace be an action? Well, interestingly enough, in the Hebrew language, when Jesus said peace, it was also a verb. In that language, in Hebrew, the answer to my question is yes, it is possible to do peace. In Hebrew, peace can be an action. The idea of peace in the English language sounds kind of calm, right? But the idea of peace in Hebrew is just a period between conflicts. A brief respite in an otherwise chaotic world in which we catch our breath and keep doing all that's necessary to preserve the peace while preparing for war. As George Washington said in his first annual address to Congress, he said, "To be prepared for war is the most effectual means of preserving peace." Well, I believe it was a verb tense version of peace that Ronald Reagan intended when he pressed the idea of peace through strength. Reagan believed that the best time to prepare for conflict was when there was no conflict, and that by doing so, our enemies would see us then as too big of an obstacle and therefore avoid more future conflicts, and by doing so, we would then have more peace. In effect, Reagan believed in the idea of doing peace. Think about that. Not just being at peace, but actually doing peace. The Biden administration, they believed in appeasement, containment, give the bad guys something, hope they'll stay in their lane. Let's be clear about something. Appeasement of bad men does not make them good. Appeasement of evil does not make it less evil. If someone is determined to commit atrocities, then they should not be given leave to do so, and they certainly should not be given things that help them. And honestly, appeasement only works if you're the strongest one in the discussion. Nobody feels the need to appease the weak. That's why we must return to the place that we press for peace through strength. Now, peace is certainly possible. Peace should always be the desired goal, but the means to reach that goal can never be found in weakness. The goal is peace, but the means is by strength. Come to the table, discuss peace with us, but hold the biggest stick at the table and you're going to get more done. Speaking at the Republican National Convention in 1980, Ronald Reagan once said, he said, quote, "We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong, but when they are weak. It is then that tyrants are tempted." That's true. They are tempted when we are weak. But Secretary Hegseth, he didn't stop there on the comments I gave you earlier. He didn't just espouse peace and give no guidance. His speech was a multi-point presentation given largely without notes and filled with heart and soul. He didn't just tell them to go figure it all out and dismiss the room. He actually gave a military speech that in military parlance was one filled with tasks, conditions, and standards. He told them not only what to do, but what to focus on, and what he expected from all of them as top leaders in the most vaunted fighting force in the history of the world. He told them that the primary position is to ensure the care of our personnel. That's primary, he said, our troops. He told them that the three biggest means of ensuring that victory and care of troops would stay paramount would be to then focus on training, equipping, and leading. And to do that, it requires removing all of the woke distractions that degraded our readiness and caused our adversaries to smirk at us on the world stage. In Secretary Hegseth's words, he said, "We're going to remove the social justice, the politically correct, and the toxic ideological garbage that's infected our department to rip out the politics. No more identity months," he said. "No DEI offices, no dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship, no more division, distraction, or gender delusions, no more debris." And then he added, "As I've said before, and will say again, we are done with that. I've made it my mission to uproot the obvious distractions that made us less capable and less lethal." Those are words like music to my ears, man. Like music to my ears. He even went so far as to state that gone are the days, too, of dual standards. He said if women want to serve in the high-stress, high-op-tempo fields of combat arms, well, that's great, but there will be one standard for excellence and not two. But then he went one step further. He also said that all the members of the military, to include every general and admiral and senior enlisted member in that room, would be required to pass the physical fitness test twice a year. He even said, gone are the days of fat generals walking the halls of the Pentagon. Well played, sir. Well played. So yes, we are moving back to an era in which we will operate from a position of strength. We operate once again as a nation that means what it says and says what it means, not under the fallible cloak of appeasement, not under the false flag of wokeness and insecurity. We are mighty, and we are reclaiming the mantle of authority that God gave us as Americans. On the world stage, we can be your best friend or you can just wish you'd never heard of us. Again, I believe it was the verb tense version of peace that Ronald Reagan intended when he pressed for that idea of peace through strength. Reagan believed that the best time to prepare for conflict was, yep, when there is no conflict, and that by doing so, our enemies would indeed see us as too big of an obstacle. The concept of peace through strength is the surest and most effective way to promote safety and security here at home. Our enemies are still growing stronger and bolder every day. Gone are the days when nations will survive because the United States engaged in some feckless and reckless appeasement programs. We must be willing to lead, guide, and direct from a position of strength if we're to remain a beacon for the world. So let me suggest to you, it is possible to both have peace and to do peace at the same time. And we have to. Don't for a second think that if you get a minute to breathe freely and relax that it means there's nothing left to do. Consider that Hebrew term for peace that indicates that peace may be upon you and peace may be a thing to be grasped, but peace may be a restful moment, but peace may also be a thing that you have to do. So blessed are the peacemakers, but it's not an idle job to be a peacemaker. It is a busy existence, and strength and preparation and forward thinking, those are the doings of peace. And by the way, peace can be restful. You can be at peace even when everyone around you is losing their ever-loving minds. That's that peace that surpasses all understanding that we hear about in Philippians 4. I've got it. I know a bunch of you do as well. But even still, we cannot be idle. We will keep calm and carry on. And remember that peace can be a verb. And yeah, peace through strength is back, baby. It is back. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.